But if you will, right now, think about the worst moment of your life. About the worst moment of your life. I think we've all had those. Most of us can think of at least one that's harder than anything else. I've got a couple. My father died. That was extremely hard. But my father, it was quick. He didn't suffer. Now, I had my nephew, and he died, and it was harder because we waited a week in the hospital hoping for good news. The doctors would, you'd go back and forth, oh, it's good today, it's bad today. But at the end, it didn't turn out the way we wanted. And I know that we all prayed as hard as we ever could at that point. I know that's just part of it. You're praying that it's going to happen, and yet sometimes it doesn't. Maybe for you, it was answered, and sometimes it's not. But we come to realize that's what this life is all about. But there are three little words in the Bible. Three little words in the Bible that show the attitude that God wants us to see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight letters, that's all it is. Eight letters in three little words that show the attitude. Tim talked about our spiritual ancestors. And we look at what they went through, what they were willing to face. And I think we're right that this is a hard journey, but we're going to have to step up. I don't know if you ever notice what Leon sometimes posts stuff about. It's time to stand up and be that person. Because our spiritual ancestors, quite frankly, with what we have, what we've been given, they'd be embarrassed by us. By the way, we don't stand for this. So let's look at these three little words through the Bible and just see. Eight letters again. Very simple. Three words. Three of the simplest words in the English dictionary. Let's go to Daniel 3. Daniel 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 6 to start with. Story of Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. So we're talking about 9 foot wide, 90 foot tall image. That's a very large, impressive, even weird looking image, if you will. 90 feet, 9 feet wide, that's not something you see every day. Said he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all of the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So having all of these powerful people from all over the entire area come to see this. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that he had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship this golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." This is not something that we have ever been faced with. We're faced with small consequences of Sabbath, our jobs, our houses, things like that. Nothing like what these men are faced with. Let's go on to verse 12. Because these people are setting these three men up. Verse 12. And they come to Nebuchadnezzar and they say, "There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. So they're feeding on the king's image or ego, telling him that he should, that these men are disobeying him, most powerful man in the world or in that area at that time. So naturally, as they feed on his ego, says verse 13, and Nebuchadnezzar in rage and fury gave the command to bring the three to him. So they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them. He says, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? It goes on in verse 15 to repeat what it says. Towards the end of it, it says, but if you do not worship, you shall be cast down immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who shall deliver you from my hands? Now, faced with that situation, I'm not sure what we would do. I'm not sure what I would do. But these three men, again, our spiritual ancestors, did something that took an incredible amount of courage. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. That took a lot of guts to just say that to a king. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Verse 16 and 17, we don't even have to answer you. Our God's going to take care of us. But the next verse is what is so important. And it shows a faith beyond just a normal faith in God that we think of. Verse 18 said, and those three words are the very first words of verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Three little bitty words. But if not. Now, I don't know how we would even compare what they were facing to anything. The only thing I can think of is some of the Middle East terrorist groups that behead people, put that online. That's the only thing that even compares to this. Would we have the faith to stand up under these conditions? Don't know that we'll ever face that, but we have a very good chance, the way this world's going, to face some very serious issues. Are we willing to say, our God will take care of us, but then those three little words. But if not, we're still going to do it. Let's look at another quick example of that in Daniel. We're going to look at 5-6 examples today of people in the Bible that had this, but if not, attitude. But if not, no matter what the case, we're going to continue. We'll stay in Daniel. Let's go to Daniel 6. You won't always see the three words, but you see the same attitude. Daniel 6, we're going to read verses 6 through 11. Again, these same men stirring up people, trying to get who were God's people, trying to get them in trouble. Just here to stir up trouble. Again, these were not the same because they were killed, but these same type of men that were here, trying to get Daniel in trouble at this point. Verse 6, so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, he's got a lot of people in his court, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. And now in verse 10. Verse 10 shows this, but if not, again. This attitude of, but if not. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, it's a rule, he has to do it. He went home. And what does he do? And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. He could have kept his window closed and not been out front showing that he stood before God. But instead, put it out in the open that he will continue that. Did he know what the consequence was? Yes, he was going to be thrown into Daniel's in the lion's den. No matter what. Again, he had probably seen people put to death in times like these. But yet he continued. But if not, again, same attitude. When he had to stand, he stood. We're beginning to face a world that considers the Bible hate speech. The beliefs in the Bible are considered hate speech today. Gay marriage is accepted every state in the country. If you question someone's gender, you're called a bigot. What if we stand on our principles and we do have to go before a judge at some point for our beliefs? We probably, at this point, it may change. We won't be put to death, but we will face some serious consequences, or even given what we see, possibility of you won't have work, you won't have a job, you won't be able to possibly interact with others because of some of these issues. Are we willing to take that stand and say, I'm not going to go with this. I'm not going to go with it. God will take care of me. But then again, that extra little thing. But if not, I still will not go your way. Still will not go your way. Let's go back and look at another attitude in the Old Testament. Genesis 22:2. And we know the story of Abraham, how he was promised a son. He didn't wait on God. He went in and had a child with his handmaid. And then he had his son Isaac, who God promised him. So this was his world. Isaac was his world once he was born. And Genesis 22:2, God tempts him, tests him, beyond what I think any of us have certainly ever faced and hopefully ever will face. Genesis 22:2, God tells Abraham, and think this is almost like taking a knife and or rubbing it in because of the way it's put here. Take now your son, your only son, that's harsh, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Man, that's harsh. Your only son. Take him up there. Sacrifice him. And yet Isaac didn't even question it. Isaac obeyed God. Isaac obeyed God on something that it's hard to even imagine. That your first response is, there's no way. And yet he did. And go on to verses 7 and 8 and you see that attitude again. Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8. You could see this attitude within Abraham of, but if not. Verse 7, Isaac calls for his dad and he said, here I am, my son. And Isaac said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And now you see the but if not. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And we know the end of the story. Isaac was going to be sacrificed by his father. And his father stopped him. But you see, God will provide the lamb. He knew in his heart that God was going to do it. But you see that right up to the last second, it was, but if not, I'm going to follow your beliefs. I will follow what you ask me to. Hebrews 11, as Tim talked about, the whole chapter and the level of faith there. Some, yes, they received some reward. Most of them didn't receive their reward. They continued. No matter what, they're going to follow God. They were going to follow Him. We'll go to Hebrews 11 in a minute. Just a few verses. Luckily, Tim didn't steal those. I was thinking he might for a minute. Let's look at New Testament examples now. New Testament examples of this same attitude. And we'll see Christ, this very same attitude to Him. Let's look at Paul first. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 11. We're going to read verses 24 through 27. I always go to these when I think, woe is me. I feel sorry for myself. And I think about what Paul went through. There's no feeling sorry for yourself when he went through this. But verses 24 through 27. He's talking about what he did endure each time. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. 39 stripes. Five times. And many people, it was hard to even survive that once. That's why it was minus one. Because typically a 40th at that time, historians believe, would kill people. So this is a brutal beating. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now, after a few of these, many people would have said, it's not worth it. Let me just go get a job and live a simple life. And Paul didn't do that. And you think about these beatings with whips. Typically, they would not be given that day. They might be administered the next day. So you're sitting in prison. Do you think Paul's praying, especially by the fourth, fifth time, that he has to endure this? He's asking God to take this away from him? But yet you see that same attitude. But if not, I'm going to endure it. Because after the first beating, I don't know, I might have walked away. I don't know if any of us would want to continue to endure that. And yet he continued it. I have no doubt that in his prayers, he's praying that he doesn't have to go through this. But you see that but if not attitude. No matter what, he was going to endure it. And he was going to go on. No one was going to stop him. We've got it way too easy today to realize that we don't really stand up. It's easier to avoid a little confrontation than to stand up for what we believe. What are we going to do? Get into an argument with someone? Does that compare to a beating, thrown in a lion's den, or burned up? Just because we don't want confrontation? I know for me, I try to avoid it. And that's terrible to think that I'm not willing to stand up for what our spiritual ancestors did. Let's look at Hebrews 11 real quickly. Just a few. Because Tim talked about that journey. And if we do look back on the people who laid that path for us, it can be embarrassing to think that the way we live, we don't stand sometimes. Hebrews 11, verses 35 through 38. No, I'm good. Hebrews 11, verse 35. It says, women received their dead raised to life again. But then you go to the ones who didn't receive, who said, but if not, I'm going to continue. It said, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials, mocking, scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And we think about how easy we have it. We have houses. We have nice houses. And yet our spiritual ancestors wandered around in caves. They never had financial problems, did they? A lot of the financial problems we have, hey, we put them on ourselves. Because they didn't worry about it. They lived the simplest life you could live. Of whom, in verse 38, how great would it be to have this said about you? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Do you believe this was the easiest life for these people? Or did they just simply refuse to go man's way and just follow God's law? Were they like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those that were sawn in half, that lived this way, where they said, God will take care of us, but if not, there's no compromise with these people. Always like what my mother-in-law said. They are Baptist, and I love them to death. We occasionally have a few issues just because of church, but she said to us one time, there's one thing about your church, there's no compromise in it. There shouldn't be. I just wonder sometimes, do we compromise more than we should? But there's no compromise here. None of these people said, oh, it's okay, I do it this one time. There was no compromise. They didn't give up. Let's look at two of the most important examples of this attitude in the entire Bible. It was given by our Savior Christ. Let's turn to Mark 14. If you knew your future and how you would die, and you knew it was going to be unbelievably brutal, what would your thoughts be? To know that Christ, at the end of his life, he knows he's come to earth as a human being, and he was God. So you think, okay, well, he's going to endure this. And yet, as a human, what did he say here? Mark 14, verse 36. He knows what he's about to go through. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. He does not want to go through this, as none of us would want to. Paul didn't want to receive beatings. I'm sure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not want to go through a fire. Daniel didn't want to be in the lion's den. And yet this next word is a synonym for those three little words. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Take nevertheless out and put, but if not. Did not want to go through this under any circumstance at all. And yet what he said right here was, but if not. It's embarrassing to me to think about some of the things I've done when we look at who our supposed spiritual ancestors are and what they went through, to think that sometimes we don't stand the way we should. How important to God is this attitude? Because you read Hebrews 11, every one of those people had this very same attitude. Hebrews 11. But not only that, God tells us how to pray in the Bible. He gives us an example through Christ. And you see this in that, and you see it very quickly in this. Matthew 6, we all know the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6. Verses 9 through 13. Here's a model prayer. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. And we also have forgiven our debtors, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, if you look at that, if you look at those scriptures, first thing it says is you honor the Father. Then it asks for the kingdom to come. And then the very next one is that, but if not, your will be done. Before you ask for what you want, your daily bread, taking care of others, keeping Satan from us, before any of that, it's your will be done. The same, very same attitude, but if not, or nevertheless, I'm going to follow God no matter what. Before anything that we should ask for ourselves, for other people, it's there in that. When we're faced with trials, and we've all had trials, but I don't know that any of us have faced trials that we saw these people did. Do we show the fruits of the Spirit? If you examine every one of them, they're all about attitude. Every one of the fruits of the Spirit's all about the attitude. And when we pray, when we're having these trials, I do remember, Debbie, was it you? Been born and your dad kept praying. Was it you?
It was David.
Mrs. Keller's was having very, very severe issues with pregnancy, and Mr. Keller's would go out and pray, and he'd ask, take care of them, continue to do this, and nothing was getting better. And how long did that last?
It was probably 40 minutes. She was bleeding because they pulled the placenta.
So she's hemorrhaging, he's praying, a very spiritual man, praying. But it finally took him saying, "Not your will, but my will." Not my will, but your will. Putting it in God's hands. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like all of the men. Put it in God's hands. So when we pray, do we say, "Father, help me. Get me through this. Help my friend. Help whatever." And that's how we end it? Or do we end it with those three little words, "Father, help me. Help them. But if not."